Enjoy Radio Free Brooklyn. This is what Brooklyn sounds like.
Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, and I'm Dr. Lisa. Hey, how are you doing? Yeah, it's December 1st. We're getting down to the wire on the whole holiday thing. So that's always a mixed bag, isn't it? It's great when you're really young, when you're a kid, because it's just presents and, you know, you're not in charge of anything, no responsibility, just get gifts. But like once you get past 12, you start realizing society sucks. You're going to have to like go find money, go out, buy presents. Although it doesn't really get, it just snowballs from there. You know what I mean. And some of it's great. It's a great excuse to like, see somebody you haven't seen in a year or a couple of years and then not see them again for a couple more years. But you know what? I want to tell you about Radio Free Brooklyn because we are the greatest radio station in the Western Hemisphere. I also want to let you know that I have an incredible comedian that I'm going to say has been around a while that I personally just discovered last week. And I got him in here and I'm thrilled to have him. Edward Farrell? I'm not going to say your name. He's blushing already.
Edward Farrell.
Edward Farrell. And he's also the owner of multiple bars. But I'm going to get to that in a second. So just bear with me because I got to get to the part that I got to get to. And it's about Giving Tuesday, even though it's Thursday today. Do you know about Giving Tuesday? I'm not going to. I could explain it. It's a global generosity movement, but you don't want to hear this crap. Let me just tell you something. Okay. Radio Free Brooklyn, honest to God, is a really valuable contribution to society and everything. It's one of the art organizations that is completely voluntary and is genuinely inclusive and generous to word. It's a really good force on the planet besides being a great radio station. And I've been involved in a lot of arts organizations and this one is exceptional in that the people that make it up are incredibly dedicated and people that are really, really, really genuinely good people. There's no other reason to be part of the station unless you have a message that you want to get out and you want to be around other people that are fucking awesome and weird and inclusive and accepting. So I'm just going to tell you that's why I want you to help. I want you to support us so we stick around. But even more than that, I feel good about asking you to donate. I actually feel good about it. And I wouldn't be saying that. I mean, well, you know, I'm not full of shit, okay? If I am, I'm going to tell you that I'm being full of shit. So go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. And really, this is a really important time of year for us. This is our most important fundraising time. This is when we make our plans for the rest of the year. Hopefully we'll have enough money to make our plans the rest of the year. Okay, thank you so much. Now I'm going to get to our guest, Edward Farrell. So I'm going to introduce Edward. So anyway, last Friday night, I was on the way home, on my way home from an art opening, and I wound up this looks good. And I went into Old Man Hustle, Brooklyn, and then I was like, oh, they have comedy. And I went in the back and I saw a terrific comedy show at the Brooklyn Comedy Club. And that's spelled BRKLYN. Don't get it wrong. So, you know,
BKL.
Yeah, I got it wrong. That's why you're here. That's why you're here, Edward. So anyway, I wound up being really, really impressed by this one comedian who's right here in front of me, Edward. And I went home and I looked him up and I was like, wait a minute, he owns that club and he owns that club and he owns that club. But the funny, this is also a really funny thing about you, Edward, and I know that you know this about yourself. This is the first time we've met in person, by the way, guys. I mean, you don't remember me from you. I mean, I remember you, but you don't remember. I was sitting in the audience in the back. You have no idea who I am.
What show are you
at? Eight? Last Friday, a week ago.
8 o'clock? 10 o'clock?
I think it was 8.
Okay. Yeah, it was a better one.
Oh, it was a better one? Well, it was very, very good. So anyway, so I was just like, wow, this guy, because Edward's, he's very, he doesn't try too hard. He's very, he's very self-contained and he's not selling anything. That's how I see it. Does that make sense to you?
Hold on. Not yet. I'm not selling anything.
No.
I'm selling booze.
even though you don't drink.
No, I don't drink.
Coca-Cola reviews.
I used to do
that. That was really funny. He does these Coca-Cola reviews on Yelp.
I used to.
That was very great. Is it not loud enough or too loud?
It's a little too hot in my ears. All right.
How's that? Better?
All right, cool.
Okay. He Edward, I just found out he used to be a sound guy. He knows his shit. He knows his shit. Sometimes. So anyway, just to like... So you guys, so this is what happened. So I found out Edward owns these clubs, bars, and I'm like, how is this guy? And then I start thinking, well, I'd love to have him on my show, but he's probably got like, you know, thousands and thousands of fans. And then I go look up like your Twitter. How many Twitter followers? You have like...
I don't use Twitter. I used to use Instagram, but I actually just started actually promoting myself, which is kind of weird. Because you reached out to me because I just kind of started doing that this week. I was in a pretty big sketch by this comedian, Ryan Long. I don't know if you know him, but so I got a little traction off of that. And I was like, all right, now's the time. I got to ride the wave. So I started putting stuff out. And I guess I'm in social media now.
Okay, so here's the thing about Edward that I'm going to say is weird. And I'm going out on a limb here, Edward, that you're gonna trust me to not get offended. Okay, I'm going out on a limb. I'm going to say that what I'm really curious about is how someone as talented and together and motivated enough to own, run, have all those businesses, clubs and bars, which are notoriously difficult businesses to make a go of. How does somebody like you get this far without doing like a lot of promotion? And what internal resources do you have, and why aren't you motivated? Like, how did it happen, and why aren't you promoting? Why aren't you I don't care that you're not promoting yourself. What I'm interested in is why you're not motivated to promote yourself.
It's not that I'm not motivated. It's just that I, you know, I opened up a comedy club right before the pandemic. I've had three different staffs. It's been open and closed three different times. It takes a lot of my time. I just recently had to step back into more of like a larger role in the clubs and kind of resetting things and coming out. But a lot of times it's that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean motivation. I mean like drive. I mean, like most comedians are like dying to get their material, their name, whatever they can to like get themselves out there and get the attention. Like you don't seem motivated.
Because most comedians try to get attention before they're worthy of that attention. I don't think I was very good at comedy until about 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I don't know if you touched on it, but I am an introvert. I mean, my first like 4 years of comedy, I would bail halfway through a set on open mics and whatever. I mean, it just wasn't me. Stand-up comedy for me is a challenge.
Uh-huh.
It's so unnatural for me that's why I like it, because I have to force myself to do something that I normally wouldn't want to do, which is stand in front of a crowd and talk to people. Which now I love it at times, but I mean, I'll be honest with you, there's times halfway through my set I'm like, I don't want to talk anymore. But you know, it's like that's mainly why I just didn't think I was good enough and I didn't really want to push something that I wasn't really behind.
But I'm going to say that it's often a lot of performers just somehow like blindly need to believe that they are great and that's how they function.
Well, I shouldn't say this as a comedy club owner, but most of them aren't. Comedy is like the comedy is because I played music too when I played in bands. And when I played in a shitty band, we all knew we sucked. But for some reason, comedy gives people this false sense of reality that they are good at it. And there's a lot of comics that are just not that good at it that think they're good at it. And, you know, it's kind of turned into a shit show. You
well,
know? And what it does is it devalues comedy because you have a lot of like crappy comedy on things like Instagram and stuff like that. And it's like, I just don't believe in putting myself out there. So I feel like it's something that's good that I think is worthy of it.
Exactly. And that's what I'm saying is sort of rare because I think it's not just comedians. I think most performers have some drive to get attention.
Absolutely.
And that will color their view of how they are as performers because they want it so much.
True. But half the people, I would say half the people in comedy could care less about the art of stand-up. Especially right now, it's just so heavy in people that are just looking to get famous and they're using that as a stepping stone. For me, I love the art of stand-up. Like I said, it's a challenge to me. I like writing a joke. I mean, some of these jokes I've had, they've been in my act for 5 years just because I kept like, I'll keep tweaking it and that. I have a hard time letting things go. But I just feel like, yeah, like you said, I just feel like a lot of people that are in comedy aren't really in it because they like comedy. They're just looking at it as like, oh, I can do this.
They want the attention.
Well, they want the attention, but also it's so bad now with social media that, you know, a comic will do a 10-minute set and bomb, but maybe they'll get one bit that did well or like a crowd work interaction, and they'll be like, they don't care because they get that 15-second clip that they can put on social media. That's all they care about, you know?
Right.
You know, I have a different approach, and I don't book my comedy club, but I will leave notes for my booker, which is, you know, I am very much into booking people that are great at stand-up comedy, the art form of writing a joke. I mean, and stuff like that. So my club is, everybody's going to catch on, but we're way ahead of the curve right now. As far as like the comics right now are going to be the huge comics within the next 2 to 3 years. But also our guys are the people that are huge on social media, that have huge names for themselves. The industry's changing, you know? It's no longer an industry where you have to get the approval of the industry.
Right.
It's you know, which is where I come in because of what I do is I'm an independent person. I own my own club. You know, I'm self-sufficient. And a lot of my friends are too. I mean, I got guys that perform in my club that, you know, they've never been on Comedy Central, they've never been on that, but they're millionaires.
Well,
and they are just because they put out their own stuff through social media.
Right. And I have to say, like, I love comedy, and I was just kind of, like I said, stumbling home, and I wound up in your club, and I was really, I'm impressed, guys. I'm impressed.
It's a good club.
It is a good club.
I measured every inch of that club.
It's a good club, and I'm surprised I haven't heard. Now after this show, I mean, you're going to be
getting out there.
But here's another thing I want to know about you, if we can find out, Edward.
Yes.
So you're okay. We already know you're a good comedian. You're talented. What your values are about comedy. We know you're a self-proclaimed introvert, which I believe. although I'm curious about that too. But how is it that somebody, like yourself, also is, and I'm going to say successful because you have three venues that you're running, and they're all open, and they made it through the pandemic. So what kind of skill, like, how do you do that? And you also have a relationship.
I mean, I'm pretty.
Are you a workaholic? Are you organized? Like, how do you do it?
I just don't give up. That's all. I just don't give up. That's all. I mean, I didn't get any pandemic money. I didn't get anything. So, you know, the fact that we're even open right now is a miracle. I still owe my landlord.
But, like, what's your involvement in the club? Do you go there every day? Do you have
people there
working for you that you see? Like, how do you keep running? Or how do you, like, there's much.
I have a general manager. I have managers, servers, bartenders, you know, the whole deal. I mean, I don't run every aspect of it. I meet with the people that work for me and, you know, make sure things are moving along.
But you're not like ordering the beer.
No, I don't. Mm-hmm. Do that. The manager does that. That kind of stuff I pulled out of over the last like year, mm-hmm. over the last like year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But
so how did you get, like, how did you even get started in the field?
And because I've been working in nightclubs for the last 10 years.
Oh, okay.
I've bartended. So I've bar backed. I was a sound guy for audio engineer for the last, almost 20 years. And you know, so I spent a lot of times, and I am an introvert, so I kind of spent a lot of times leaning against the wall in a nightclub and just watching how things operate. And I've also worked in so many nightclubs that have gone under, some that have, and I just kind of like took all that knowledge and is like, okay, this is what you do. This is what you don't do. You know, it's not an easy business. It's not.
No, it's not. And so, but you sound like a keen observer of whatever's going on then.
Yeah. I mean, I learned most of what I know in working in nightclubs is where I really kind of discovered everything about myself. It's got me to every point of where I am. I mean, you'll meet a lot of interesting people in nightlife. Most people are artists. You also meet a lot of shitty people, scumbags that own clubs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get like the whole run of the mill of, you know, how things run and whatnot. And, you know, it's an interesting industry. I liked it. I liked the creative side of it. My last job, I worked at this place called the DL. And, you know, I worked there as an audio engineer and basically like the production manager. So like every night I'd be like setting up different lights. I'd be setting up fashion shows. It was like an introvert's dream. I just walk around by myself creatively setting up things how I want. And I was good at it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the first thing that pushed me out of like to do more on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Was when I did work at the DL. I worked for a guy named Steve Lewis.
Oh, I know who he is.
You know Steve?
Yeah, okay. I met him once when I was very young.
He's a very charismatic guy.
Yeah.
I always say this about Steve. When Steve walks into the room, half the people hate him, half the people love him, but everybody's talking about him. Which, you know, I'm not as loud and vocal as Steve, but he saw something in me that other people didn't. Because he saw how I worked and all. And then there was one time I wasn't even at the meeting. And he basically just like stood up in the meeting and was like, yeah, I want to talk about Ed. I was like, this guy's a genius and he's underutilized. He's like, we should be using this guy. And it kind of just gave me the reins to just kind of run with it. And it kind of just put my head into a different perspective.
Oh, wow.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I was like certain people in my life that had like impacts on me. And,
so he was kind of a mentor. But also when you heard that, did that give you some sort of confidence?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Because he always, like, he's not, like, I don't know, a lot of people don't like him. I love him.
No.
But he just saw something in me, you know, like, the thing about a guy like Steve Lewis, and I would say this too, is where what I learned most from him and people like him is to run a successful business and on every aspect, the artistic level and whatever, you can't do it all your own. You have to bring in people that you trust their vision and you trust that they're going to do the right thing. You know, it's also finding people that are also brilliant. That's a skill. It's like, so he had that skill and that's always what he's been. He was never the guy that like always created, that came up with the ideas. He's the kind of guy that goes, oh wait, this person right here, this is the person we should be. Let's pick their brain. And that's what I learned from him because he basically did that to me.
Right. So he saw your talent and,
yeah, and it was like the one of the last straws that like pushed me. That pushed me because I mean I am an introvert. Like I said, it goes everything against me to get pushed out.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve Lewis was a guy, and it was this other guy named Ray who lives in Australia. Walked into my bar when I first had it in the Lower East Side, Old Man Hustle Bar, LES. Came in off a plate, got wasted, came into my bar drunk, and then came in the next day and was just like sitting in my bar and like barely talking. And he was like, I was like, this guy like doesn't even talk. He's like, yeah, I'm an introvert. And we just started talking, and he was like, yeah, he's like, I'm an auctioneer. And I was like, what? I was like, you're an introvert. I was like, how the hell are you an auctioneer? He's like, dude, you have to understand something. He's like, you have to understand how people look at you whenever. He's like, you have to push yourself through, or people are always going to look down on you because you're the quiet guy. You're going to talk. They're going to think you're shady or whatever. It's like, you have to push yourself out there. He's like, I'm an auctioneer. He's like, I'm not that guy. You see me? He's like, I will barely talk here. And it kind of was like the other thing that was like, all right.
Oh, so
it was
like, that made you think too.
Yeah, we live in a simulation. A lot of people just don't realize it. And I don't know if it's an actual simulation, but what I am saying is being an observant guy, there's been people that have crossed my path in my life that I was like, oh, wait a minute. This is key.
That's really interesting. But, and also, you don't drink.
No, I used to. I used to do a lot of drugs and stuff. Like we talked about.
Okay.
We talked about Bowery Poetry Club recently before we did this. But that was like kind of where when I stopped drinking. I stopped at 32, so kind of sunk up with stand up. So,
Okay, so you know what that's about. It's just that you haven't avoided it completely.
Yeah, I don't have a hard time not doing it.
We are remarking on your success, and I do think that I'm sure you've seen it more than I have, but there are people that, like in the nightlife, wind up having too much of nightlife. Stuff,
yeah.
And then it can really take you down, and you haven't.
I know a lot of guys that are in their 60s still doing cocaine, living that lifestyle, and you know they've been through 5 different wives, and you know it's just like,
yeah,
I don't want to be
that guy.
You're not that guy.
I want to hear how you grew up. So where did you grow up?
I'm from Philadelphia.
Oh yeah,
middle. Are you?
Well, I went 8 to 18. I lived in Cheltenham, the suburbs.
Yeah, I know where Cheltenham is. I grew up in Northeast Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, right. So. We played you guys in sports. I grew up in Linwood Gardens. Do you know Linwood Gardens?
Sounds
weird. Right on the other side of Philadelphia, right?
It's Montgomery County, I think.
Yeah, it is. But anyway, so you grew up in the Northeast.
Yeah, I grew up in the Northeast and, you know, middle class family.
What did your parents do?
Well, when I was born, they were just out of high school. I mean, my parents were 19 when I was born.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
were you an accident? I'm just going to ask.
Probably.
You never talked to them about it? Are you the oldest? Do you have brothers and sisters?
No.
You're the only child?
Yeah, just me. But anyway, yeah, I mean, you know, working class family, 19 when I was born. I mean, I don't know.
Are they still together?
In modern times, I probably wouldn't even be here. But
are they still together?
Yeah, they're still together.
That's
which is
nice.
Also rare.
That's really amazing. That's beautiful. They've been together a really
also
long.
Like my father's not a educated guy, but he's a successful guy. He's worked in sales, managing like huge teams, like whole East Coast teams. He's run
what field of sales?
Well, when you work in sales, you do everything.
Yeah, so he's worked in a lot of different industries.
My point is that he's managed people with college degrees, and he doesn't have one.
Right.
Know? So he was always like kind of self-made guy.
Right.
And you know, I didn't actually just realize it right now. What I talked about with Steve Lewis kind of happened to him. I just kind of realized that now. Because he was working in a factory that my grandfather was a truck driver. He was making boxes. And we had this guy move across the street that worked for an insurance salesman. And they just started talking. And the guy was like, hey, man. He's like, you're like a really smart guy. Really well-spoken. Like, you really know how to, like, lay it out there. He's like, would you ever be interested in sales? And my dad was like, he's working in a fucking factory.
Yeah.
And that's where he got his start. And then he just took that and ran, you know.
Wow.
But kind of a similar story to me. I didn't even realize, like, you know, it was, but sometimes, like, a lot of people, you know, I would say this, like, a lot of people, like, people have done that with me, I'm sure I've missed some along the path. Everybody does, but I've definitely caught the ones that really impacted me.
Uh-huh.
But you'd be amazed, especially being a comedy club owner and a clown, how many people blow those opportunities. I couldn't tell you how many people I've been that guy to them, and then they just didn't get it, or they just
You were trying to give them a hand.
Yeah, like, and people
like
were
what?
Just
like what? That's so interesting.
Oh, comedians do it all the time.
Like,
you know, in
like
general.
Do you want to come and do the show?
Or you have people that like come and, you know, they say they want to work and do this, and then like, you know, they always want to be in comedy or whatever, and then you hire them and then they don't want to work.
It's just like
a lot of people just don't.
Like, I don't call that blowing a shot. I call that most people don't understand how hard it is to do anything.
Well, that's a problem with society right now.
I
don't want to get political, but just to the fact that, you know, I think that there seems to be, as a business owner, it's almost like against hard work right now.
Yeah.
Like hard work is like dumb. Like that's for losers. You don't do hard work. You know, like that's being taken advantage of. And I think that's a crock of shit. And another thing with me is like, you know, I'm 43 years old. I'm really not political. I've always grew up like, you know, liberal and whatnot. But like, right. But people like my age, like in our 20s, we really bought into this narrative that like, you were never going to make more than your parents. You're not going to, like, that was always like the narrative, like in the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah. And I think a lot of people bought into that, and I did too. And then one day I just pulled my head out of my ass and I realized, like, you know, I'm a smart guy. I can, if I exert myself, I'm in New York City. There's people with money all over the place.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just went full steam ahead and it was just like, bam, it just opened so much things. Like, oh, you can do this. You can do this. But the reason I didn't is, you know, partially maybe because I was introverted, but also because I just believed in that narrative that was like, oh, your generation will never make what your parents think. And I think that kind of screwed up a lot of people my age too. And I think it's tenfold now with the younger kids. It's like,
yeah,
you know, I mean, you can't find right now. I'll take that back, because right now I have the best staff I've ever had.
That's beautiful.
And
to
I'm not
hear.
Just saying that.
No, I know that. But
I really do.
That is really beautiful.
But we've been through so many, and it's just like, and we've had people come and go, but like, they just don't want to work. They don't want to try.
Like everybody's, yeah.
Well, also there seems to be like, and I was an anxiety person when I was younger, but like with younger people now, I mean, the anxiety is just off the charts.
Like anxiety about.
Like, all right, you know, like just doing a job. Like, you know, there's a bunch of people in the room like doing a job and they just get in their own way. Like they can't handle it.
Oh, like.
And I think that might be a direct effect of like partially COVID with people being locked in the house so much, but like a lot of younger people, they just don't have it together, man.
I think to me, and I think I know what you're talking about, and I know I'm quite a bit
older.
They're
in their own way.
But like I think that there's a lot of coddling. I think that like this whole trophy, you know, whatever they call that, trophy, you know, everybody gets a trophy. So I think my parents were like, you know, you got to fucking do what you got to fucking do and get out there and do it. I'm not going to help you.
Yeah.
And like these kids, like, and I would go through a lot of anxiety. I got fired. I mean, I've gotten fired from so many things, but I was always on my own. I was always like, no one is going to feel sorry for me. No one's going to save my butt. I got to make this happen. And I want to live in New York City and I want to do this art shit. And I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah. Look,
kids nowadays, I think that they get some small failure and they call up their parents and their parents are sympathetic. Like you can understand how that works, but that's not really helpful.
Yeah. Like I would say, they just give up too early.
I agree.
And I'm the kind of person that doesn't give up. So it's like, you know, I just, and then also it's like when you are the owner of a business and, you know, it goes down the line, eventually it gets to you. And it's like, if you don't do it, then no one else is going to do it.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing because you just figure out stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't, people don't realize like how many things you can achieve and just figure out by just doing it.
Yeah.
Like they get so like people will just give up after the first fail.
No,
maybe the second fail.
Yeah.
And then it's it.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it takes the sixth, the seventh, and then you figure it out. But, you know, like that's pretty rewarding when you do. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Like you did it. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think celebrity culture just makes everything look so easy, which isn't good.
Is crazy because a lot of celebrities are the hardest working people out there.
They're all driven. Yeah. They're all very driven, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just don't see that side of them. So I wanted to ask you about, so it's interesting what you said about your dad, because your dad sounds like a real extrovert.
I don't think so.
Or he sounds like he's really good with people. Like this gentleman said to your dad, you'd be a good salesman. So what did he see in your dad, do you think?
I don't know. Probably, I mean, I'm a good salesman too.
I bet. Yeah. No, because, yeah.
I maybe it's just the way he talked. I mean, is you know, he like you just spotted it.
Does he have an introverted side?
I would say a little bit, but not as much. Definitely more social than me, but I think he's definitely more introverted now as he gets older than he was. But I don't think, I wouldn't call him an introvert to the degree that I am. But.
Right. But he must have had, to be a salesperson, you have to, I mean, that's a very people-facing job, right?
Yeah. But, so there's a reward on the end, you know. You gotta feed your family.
Yeah, and it's also very specific. Like you have a job, you're not just trying to like get a date or see if you can like hang out with this person again. Like there's a job. So what about your mom? What did she do?
She was a dental hygienist when I was a kid, and then she started working at a hospital, like the overnight shift as like administrative. Admissions, and then she just retired like a year ago. Mm-hmm.
So what was it like growing up with parents that were close to your age? Were I'm guessing they were much younger than most of your friends' parents. Is that right?
Yeah.
So what was that like? What was that experience like? I mean,
you don't know any better when you're a kid.
It happened to you, but like,
I think that at the time I didn't know, but sometimes when I look back at it, oh shit, like I was literally raised by children, you know, like I'll think back, but like, I mean, I don't have any glaring like negatives or anything. Like I think they did a great job, but I could definitely think back and be like, oh yeah, like, and look back and like, oh yeah, like they literally had zero money at that point. Or like, you know, maybe they didn't know what the fuck was going on. You know, I mean, I have great grandparents too that helped.
Oh, okay. That's good to know.
My grandparents, more so my mother's, both of them. But, you know,
they involved with your upbringing?
No, I was definitely raised by my parents, but I mean,
were they around? You had an extended family, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, my grandfather owned a business. He actually worked at GE. This is another thing. Like, back then, like, college degree is like the biggest scam going on. It's a total waste.
Yeah.
Because like back in the day, like you could do stuff without college. Like my grandfather was working for GE during the war, and they were basically mapping out how to get these weapons on these helicopters. Like they were already designed, but he would work and like, okay, this has to go here, this has to
go
here.
So kind of like engineering?
Yeah, but he wasn't an engineer. Mm. You know what I mean? It's just like,
because you could do that.
Yeah, but back then, like, you know, you could if you were smart and whatever. Now they probably wouldn't even look at you. I think he got burnt out on that job, and then he bought a route where he was selling like potato chips, pretzels to like corner stores and bars, and he did that, which definitely impacted me as far as I used to work with him in the summers, like every Monday.
Oh yeah,
but
as a kid,
that whole side of the family is all business owners, painters. Big, we're Irish, so painters, Irish become painters.
Uh huh.
I think that's because it's easy to do hungover. I put together because it is. It's not as the manual labor. It's just like this. Well, for whatever reason, Irish became painters, you know, and a lot of painters in my family. Both my uncles own painting businesses. My grandfather owned a chip, so like that kind of.
So owning a business seems comfortable to you.
Yeah. From my mother's side, definitely.
Yeah,
My father's not a risk taker. Is one thing where we, you know, he was a dad. It's like, you know, there were times when he like dabbled and thought about owning businesses. But, you know, he's just not that guy. And in hindsight, maybe he wouldn't have been successful at that. Maybe he's just more successful working for a company. And, you know, he just never wanted to, like, take the chance, you know, because me, I mean, the reality of me is I had no choice because, like, I was 36 years old and I was just like, what the fuck? Like,
did you go to college?
No. I did sound. I learned audio.
Oh, you have technical training.
Yeah, but I went to a school in New York, like a trade school, but I didn't graduate. When I got there, I realized that my knowledge was further than
what they were teaching me. No, it's all about the certificate. I think that the value of college has gone, like what you actually get out of college has gone way, way down.
It's not worth it.
But I want to hear about what it was like. Like, I want to know, this is what I'm curious about. I'm thinking that, you know, introversion is considered, sort of has a big genetic component to it. Have you ever heard that?
No.
I've read that as a hobbyist.
There's a book about introverts. I own it, but my girlfriend read it. I never read it.
Oh, yeah. I know that one.
It's like a red cover. and who runs woman, yeah. woman I wrote, I can't remember her name. Power of Introverts or something?
I don't know. But I think it is like a natural disposition. For sure. Yeah. It's not like you got traumatized and now you're afraid of people. It's really just it's in your nature.
I've never been easily impressed either. My mom would say like my first or second Christmas. I don't whenever you actually have a Christmas. She's like, they bought me like all these presents and I literally opened half of them. I was like, all right, I'm good. You don't want to open your other presents? Like, you're not excited. Like,
that's no, so good. Weird. Yeah, that's so weird. That would be weird. I'd be like, oh my God, what's with this kid? Yeah. So you take everything in stride. That's not right.
The thing about me is one of my biggest assets and biggest flaws is that I have a hard time living in the moment. I'm a very strategic person. I'm always three steps. That's why I'm good at stand up, because I'm thinking that's why I can like bounce off a crowd or like know what to go into next. Cause I'm pretty tuned in what the next 2-3 steps are. So
you've really sharp observational skills.
Yeah.
So instead of putting yourself out there, you're not focused on getting your thing out there. You're more in you. There is a lot about being in the moment that I think is recognizable, because being in the moment is observing. Observing is very much being in the moment.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And you're using that information. It's almost a secret. Like, now I'm thinking of you like having this secret weapon, like where you're sitting around taking everything in that you can then, which you are then processing for some kind of mastermind plot later.
Yeah, kind of.
Is it like that?
Yeah. I mean, like, my plan on what I'm doing now has always been to start into like a production company and stuff like that.
Is that what you're thinking about next? Maybe.
I was, but I don't know.
You're enjoying the bars and clubs? Club. Eh. Are you?
I'm at a point now where honestly, if I was to start making money doing stand up, I would probably sell them all.
Okay.
I don't know.
You like stand up is your, that's what you're enjoying the most right now.
It's not just that. It's just New York City is not a very business friendly place. If you really want to know the truth, it's very expensive. There's just a lot of things that I don't like and that I didn't realize. Like, you know, you always hear these things when you work for people, like, oh, you know, this, that. But New York City's tough, man. And it's also really tough right now because we would deal with all the nonsense in New York. Oh, it's crammed. You know, there's trash, this and that.
Right.
Because why would we deal with that? We would deal with that because it was booming. Because there was always something cool going on. It had this energy.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting it back, but we're not even close to where it was.
Mm.
You know, and I know that for a fact, just I have my tip on, you know, I'm in entertainment. So I can really kind of get the feel. And, you know, like, just that part of New York City right now, I just don't feel like it. We're just not there.
Not that energy.
And I don't know if it's ever going to be back to what it was. I mean, the society as a whole. I mean, you can't just stop society for almost 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. Society is definitely getting.
But the thing about New York is like I said, the things that like I would look past. Now I'm like, like, you know,
maybe
I mean?
You're getting tired of it too. Which is,
yeah, I mean, I still do like it here. Don't get me wrong.
No,
but as from a business owner's perspective, it's not what it used to be. It's hopefully it comes back. I would love for that to happen. But it's very, you know.
Well, I think I think this is a very transitional time because it's like now we've gone back to normal, but like I think we're still adjusting to that. And like instead of like waiting to see what's going to happen in the next phase of the pandemic, we're sort of like, okay, now we are where we are. What's, you know, and I think it's a bigger I think emotionally it's a bit of a head trip more than we realize because things are actually quote unquote normal. But I wanted to find out what you were like as a kid. Like I'm picturing you like, you know, in like the, I don't know, what were you like in school? Did you have a lot of friends? Did you have girlfriends in high school? Like what was school like? Should we start with like,
I don't know.
Let's talk about high school because that's probably the most concise
All right.
Or would you just rather not?
I mean, I don't know. I didn't particularly like it. I went to like three different ones. One,
how come?
Twice. I just didn't like it.
You didn't like any of the schools?
No, I just didn't like school. It's just not. I don't know.
Like just, how? Well, what did you say to get? Like, mom, dad, I'm not going to the school anymore. I don't like it. Or what would happen? Did they?
I don't know.
So anyway, we're not enjoying this part of the conversation. I get feeling.
I don't talk about school.
Can we talk about elementary school?
I don't know. What's there to talk about?
So let me ask you this. Okay. You're an introvert. Did you have friends as a kid?
Yeah, of course.
And so what was that like?
Just like a normal kid playing football, whatever.
Oh, you played sports?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I mean, so with my friends, not in like a team, but you know, just a normal kid.
But were you? Do you think you were a particularly introverted child?
Yeah, for sure.
What? So, but eventually you would have friends.
Yeah, I always had friends.
You're just not the guy. Do you think introversion is for you, do you think it's that you don't need to assert yourself into what's going on, or do you think is there anxiety? Some people, like I can be introverted out of anxiety. I'd be like, I don't know where I am, I don't think these people want to talk to me, shit like that. But
sure,
I'm not sure
that too.
There is some of that.
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. But, so did you get along with your parents growing up?
Yeah.
And are you close with them now?
Mm-hmm.
It must be fun having parents who are only like 19 years older. Do you guys have a lot in common or?
I don't know. I mean, I guess. I mean, they're my parents. I mean, we get along well.
Uh-huh. Do you see them often?
Fair enough. They live at the Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like how I brought this? This is great, guys. Look how I brought up I got this conversation to come to complete halt.
What do you haven't?
Yeah, I did. Well, I felt like I'm just going to say this. Ed, you know that I have real respect for you, but so I don't mean to be disrespectful or offensive.
Not even the slightest bit. Don't worry about it.
Okay. But I'm going to say that I think when we started talking about high school and stuff like that, there's something you got. I made you uncomfortable. Did I make you uncomfortable?
No, I mean, I just don't. I don't know. That's so long ago. I don't even remember half of it. I don't like to talk about the past.
You don't? You don't like you're forward. Oh, right, because you're strategically moving forward.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
Who knows? It could all fall apart in a year. No.
So let's talk about your comedy career, because you're really obviously we know you're a talented comedian. And so what you could probably, I mean, we think that you could probably make a living doing that, right? Maybe.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm sure I will.
You're sure? So what do you have to do to make that happen?
I mean, just keep doing what I'm doing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, do you see, like, what do you imagine? Do you see, like, having a special? Or, like, what kind of, how would it manifest? Like, how do you see it manifesting? That's what I'm curious. Somebody like you.
I don't know.
Is there any comedian that you could say, oh, that's a good career? Or somebody, who do you admire?
I don't know.
Or you don't think like that?
I mean, I was a big fan of Norm Macdonald. I had the opportunity to meet him too. But I'm not that kind of guy. I don't know. Just do stand up and see what happens. Like I said, I'm putting more stuff out on social media. We're working on putting sketches together. I have like an in-house guy. So we got all the equipment in the world. We started working on something called Crowdwork, the comedy show. As like a pilot we were shooting where it's no material, it's just comics kind of
working off with the crowd.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we shot it during the New York Comedy Festival, and someone say it's on hold, but we're probably like 2 weeks we'll sit down and revisit. My editor, you know, is kind of messing around with it. So we're seeing what we're gonna do with that, if there's anything there, and you know, We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Also looking into doing more sketch stuff and like that.
Oh, so that's really performing like an actor more, right? In a certain way.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I would more into writing it, but yeah, doing that.
Yeah, stuff. But I mean, do you perform it? You perform what you write.
I was just in a sketch recently. This guy Ryan Long, but that was like I had like six lines.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool. It was the first time that like I've ever worked on something like. I mean, it was pretty big. I think I got like 20,000 likes on Instagram, 1,000 views on YouTube. So you know, it was a pretty big.
Well, what is it? Let's hear.
Transfer the like.
Let's see how we can look it up. Tell us about how we can look it up. Edward, we're going to help.
In, Ryan
I want to see it, and we're going to also promote it.
I mean, it's not. It's I don't do anything.
Oh no, we don't care. What is it?
Oh, I do care. Just look up Ryan Long on
Ryan
YouTube.
Long.
But okay. Yeah, I mean, I didn't write it. He just gave me my lines. Okay. I just said a couple things.
Okay,
and
we know that. We know that.
I'm not.
We know that.
He's the
okay.
He's the guy.
All right, we're not going to do that. No, we are.
Nah, yeah, go for it. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, he's at my club a lot. He's one
shout out Ryan Long. Do you most really like Ryan? You think Ryan's talented? I bet, right? No.
A fucking yes.
Okay.
That
was nice.
I like Ryan because Ryan's a hardworking guy, and he works for himself. He does the road. He puts out sketches, and I was friends with Ryan from my club. Like I would guess, you would say he's famous now. I mean, he's pretty big, but I watched him not go from just the guy I was hanging out with, like having dinner once a month, and then like slowly become like this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is like he did it pretty much all on his own, you know. Mm-hmm. And he just the guy has an incredible work ethic. Mm-hmm. He's funny. He just you know he really mm-hmm. just does it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, yeah, I have a lot of respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason I brought him up because I had just done that sketch, so it got me a couple followers.
Oh.
And so, you know, when it came out, I was like, all right, well, I should start posting on social media so I can kind of try to ride this wave and just see where it goes.
Is social media sort of go against, like, it's kind of weird, right? It's
yeah, because I can't figure out what I want to do. Like, am I supposed to be doing this right now? Am I supposed to be my phone pointing
no,
at
this
you?
Is gonna, this is it. This is gonna.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't think like that. You know, that's the
yeah,
problem.
That's what I mean. It seems like you don't.
I have to come up with something. I'm working on coming up with something that's non-stand-up related where I can post something daily on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
I put two clips in my stand-up on there, but I'm not really a fan of that because I'm not really a fan of just like burning my material for Instagram. It's
right.
And I think that's a big problem with a lot of comedians.
Yes.
Now, if you go on Instagram, I mean, they're just putting their bits on there for free. And it's like, what are you going to do with that? Like, so like if I was, you know, the person that, I don't know, Netflix that puts out specials and you came to me and I'm like, oh, that's great. You got 200,000 followers. And then they're like, what material do you have?
Yeah,
you're
going to
put out the same material you just put out for free on Instagram? Because like, it just doesn't make sense.
Or crowd work is, that's...
Well, that's the good, that's the thing about the crowd work show is that you're not burning material.
Right. And a lot of...
And a lot of people are doing that on Instagram. But the quality sucks. So we were like, if we can do like a 3-4 camera shoot, because a lot of crowd work videos, you don't see the person in the crowd they're talking to. So our whole idea was, well, if we can zoom up on that person, you can see the face of the person. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, it's a different experience. So we're messing around with that.
Yeah. You also seem to have a lot of really great ideas. Like, I love the idea about, I went to your, one of your links, and it was all get the Yelp reviews on Diet Coke.
Right.
But now that is hilarious. And that's a great, like something like that is a great use of social media which is a way of demonstrating
those
your.
Those are old.
I'm just saying as an example, that's a great way of demonstrating wit without, you know.
And the thing is, Yelp is old and also like those numbers are old, but that used to be, like, I don't know if Yelp changed or whatever, but like that was like semi-famous from that. Like, it was crazy. Like, I was tons of followers because I didn't just put it on Yelp. I would put it on any place that had a review thing. But I would also never talk bad about the business. How that happened is when I stopped drinking, I would just get Diet Cokes at bars. And the Diet Coke always sucks. So I would just review the Diet Coke. But I would always, like, make it, like, a big.
Yeah, it was really, really funny.
Yeah.
And readable and stuff like that. So I'm going to encourage that. Also,
I forgot about it.
Also, on the show that I saw, you had Trevor. What's his? Is it Trevor? There was somebody else who's pretty well. Tyler Fisher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Tyler's a good friend of mine.
Yeah. He's really good.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
He's taken the same reins that Ryan did. Not the reins, but he's very similar. He's extremely hardworking. He's one of the funniest guys I've ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Almost exclusively performs at my club. He recorded his special at my club, the first special shot, which is amazing special, amazing. He's actually headlining there next week. I think it's Wednesday.
At your club?
Yeah.
Next Wednesday, which is...
Almost sold out.
Tyler, that's the seventh. It's sold out.
Oldmanhustle.com. It's not sold out yet. But yeah, Tyler's another one. The people that work at my club are all people that do everything on their own. We have this other kid named Che Dorena just came in from Canada. I didn't even know who this kid was. He's got like, I don't know, like 10 million followers on TikTok, the whole thing. I walk down the street with this guy. He's constantly, people are pulling him over, asking for pictures. And
really?
I'm just like, what the hell?
Wow.
He's the most famous guy in my bar. I never even heard of him.
Wow.
Through social media. And, you know, these guys that do this stuff on social media are extremely hardworking, not only talented, but they have a regiment. They do this, they do that. And it's like, you know, they're not just like throwing stuff out there.
Right.
You know, and they also, it's also like they study the algorithm. They understand how things, it's
wow,
a lot.
Wow, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But those three guys, Che Dorena, Ryan Long, Tyler Fisher, are three of the biggest up and coming guys in comedy, and the industry won't go near them.
Really? That's so interesting. Why is that? Why do you think that is?
Well, maybe they're not as liberal as or maybe they're, you know, they take more chances or who knows. But it just doesn't seem to be what the industry wants at the time. But the thing is like they don't need it.
They just do it
on their own.
Right.
And I'm part of that too, because I'm a guy that just my take on that was to do one on club. I mean, you get to be introvert. I mean, I'm so introverted that I literally built a whole everything around me.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, I built a club around me. Everything around me. Everybody has to come to me.
You know, I'm going to say there's an element of control in that.
100%.
So is that, what's the control? You like to have control. You don't trust other people that they're going to do it right, or?
No, not that. I just like building something, and, you know, yes, I do like having control. That is definitely true. But most people don't want to have control. So someone has to step up and to be that person. You know, most people say they will, but they don't actually want it, because there's a lot that comes with that. Uh-huh. You know,
I'm going to say that you're reminding me a bit of Tom Tenney, who I admire and adore, who is one of the co-founders of, do you know Tom? He's one of the co-founders of The Station. And okay. If
he walked in here, I'd probably recognize him.
But he definitely, I think his way of I don't know. I haven't worked for you. I don't know what the deal is. But I would say that he likes to have it like he's in control. But he also makes sure that everything gets done. And a lot of people would like to have the control, but they're not going to empty the wastebasket if they have to. Like, you would empty the wastebasket if you had to.
Yeah, but you can't have too much control. You know, like, when I first had my first bar, I mean, I would go in there, I would clean in the morning, I would do office work during the day, and then I would bartend all night. And I would do that almost every day. And I was moderately successful. And then when I started hiring people, the right people that were buying into what I was doing, that's when the success started to come around. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, and also, like, my staff is all of people that, like, I saw something in, or I saw this piece. My general manager was Liz, who's phenomenal. She was working in hotel management in, like, a hotel, but she literally just came into my first bar with her boyfriend at the time, who used to, like, draw the comics when they were on stage. And then Liz became a regular, and, you know, we just kind of hit it off. And then there was a point where, it's always like a running joke, you hang at my bar long enough, you'll work there. But she ended up bartending for me. And it's interesting because it wasn't even like not really her wheelhouse either. I don't know if I would say Liz is an introvert, but I watched her like progress and get better and better and better at it. And then I made her, she became a manager, and then she became the general manager.
So part of what you enjoy is also finding people, and I'm going to use the word managing, but it's really
finding people and that other people would probably pass on or not see, which is good, but it also is a headache at times.
It's also what?
It's also a headache at times.
Oh, yeah.
Because not all of those people work out. A lot of them don't.
Right. It's a risk.
Know? It is a risk. A lot of them don't work out. And then, you know, when that doesn't happen, you have to.
You have to fire people.
Yeah, I have to
fire. How is people. That?
It's never easy.
But you,
I've had, there was a couple where, you know, maybe it was fun because they were complete assholes.
I'm not going to lie.
But 95% of them are, you know, you never want to do it. It's tough.
It's hard.
Because I've been on the other end. I've been fired so many times. I've been fired mostly because I'm introverted. Because people are just like, oh, it's a shady guy. Like, who's this guy?
That's so funny that you think that's what you think people are thinking, that you're a shady guy.
Well, some people do. That's just the reality of it. It's just some extroverted people don't like introverts because they just can't, like, why aren't you, like, talking? Why aren't
you?
Also, people that are up to no good don't like me because I'm an observant guy and they can see that I could literally just see right through them.
Yeah.
And they're just, that, there's a lot of that in my life where people are just like,
So you're a good evaluator of human nature, Liz.
I'm very good at it.
Yeah.
If you ask people that know me and, you know, they would fight me on the thing, but I always come around and go, dude, you were totally right about that person. I said, yeah, I know. I told you. They're no good. I don't know.
And you also don't seem to have, like, a need to, like, be liked. Like, you're not going to, like, do something just to get somebody to like you.
No, I can't because I have to run a business and I have to make unpopular decisions. You know, and that's, you know, I work in comedy. I can guarantee you 50% of the comics hate me. I'm sure when I post this thing, they all talk shit on it. But you know what?
Oh,
I don't care. Like I have a very tough skin on that aspect where it's like, no, I believe in this. I'm doing this and I'm going and I don't care if I'm not trying to hurt anybody.
Right.
But like, I don't care if it's, you don't like it or if you think I suck or if you think I'm an asshole, because there's certain things that I'm like, no, this is what we got to do. This is the way it's got to be done. And I have to do this. And, you know, I mean, we're talking about running a business. We're talking about, like, you know, but like people don't like that. And, you know, but I, on the other hand, have to just be like, all right, well, you know, I don't care that you don't like it.
I think anyone that runs a business or is in charge of anything is, is just ripe for criticism.
Well, yeah, when you own a business, like, you know, I mean, look, you got to be the bad guy sometimes. Like, you think I don't know when I walk out of my bar that my employees might be like, ah, what the fuck, fuck him or whatever. I know that happens. Of course it
sometimes
does.
Sometimes it's got to.
But you have to just roll with
it. But you know what? We feel like that about everyone we know in our lives.
True.
Right?
True.
I bet, you know, I mean, we are all subjects of complaints. Like I like to say, we're all annoying to somebody. We only have a minute and a half left. So I'm going to, first of all, I'm going to say thanks so much. I'm glad I'm really glad I got to, like, hang out
with
you.
Yeah, it's been a good experience.
Really, really great. And I want people to know where to go to. They should go to oldmanhustle.com, and then they can find out about the Brooklyn Comedy Club.net, BRK.
Let's just say oldmanhustle.com. That'll be Brooklyn, Old Man Hustle, Brooklyn Bar, Old Man Hustle Bar, yes, and Brooklyn Comedy Club all fall under that website. It looks the best it's going to look right now, but it's getting redone.
It's okay.
But everything's under Old Man Hustle.
Uh-huh.
New website's being built for the club. For myself, Ed Man Hustle, and Instagram. Pretty much if you go into any social media thing and you put in Ed Man Hustle, you'll find me. Right now I'm really only active on Instagram, but
Got to get on this, Edward. We're going to make you a after this show, I mean, you know, you're going to blow up and you better be prepared.
Yeah, I got a lot of stuff out there that we shot that I just haven't put out yet.
You're doing great. You obviously are doing great. So, and I just want to say thanks to everyone who listened. I'm Dr. Lisa. I'm here every Thursday, 2 to 3. I have over 300 episodes. Check me out at Dr. Lisa Levy, SP. Stick around. We got great pro.